Well, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. We're in Acts this morning, chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 2. A couple weeks ago, last time I was up here, boy, it seemed like a long time when you miss a Sunday. In our last lesson, Peter had just finished his sermon to the Gentiles that were gathered in the house of Cornelius of Caesarea. And he preached the gospel to those people that day, and they'd never heard it. And when he finished preaching, the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell upon the crowd there, and they began to speak in tongues, and they began to magnify God. Well, the Jewish Christians that were there that had come with Peter to Caesarea were amazed and astonished, because in their minds, God belonged to the Jews and not to the Gentiles. And they just didn't believe that he would ever save a bunch of trash like the Gentiles. And that's what they considered Gentiles to be. There's a lot of people that never thought God could save some of us, or would, but he did. And so people are amazed when something like that happens, and those Jewish Christians were amazed. But what they don't understand is that God loves all people. God loves everybody everywhere. And it doesn't matter anything else. Nothing else matters. Nothing matters. God loves us all. And he'll save the soul of the most unworthy person that's ever walked the face of this earth. And I can testify to that because I'm one of them. So, he's not like us. The Holy Spirit is available to all who believe. And those people believed that day in that room. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And see, Peter had already learned this lesson up on the rooftop there in Joppa when he was praying and the Lord put him in a trance. And that sheet came down from heaven, and the Bible says that sheet was full of all manner of four-footed beasts and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And God said to Peter, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter would never have eaten anything like that. Peter was a Jew, and they only ate things that were kosher and things that were prepared the proper way, and certain things they didn't eat. And so Peter would never have done that. But God took Peter's traditions, God took Peter's prejudices, and he showed them that they were just didn't amount to anything, and that God is no respecter of persons. That God, the Bible told us that God will save those in every nation who believe. It doesn't make any difference about anything else except that you believe. So now it was important that those Jews that were in that room, and that's the reason they'd gone with Peter to Caesarea, although they didn't know it, God had sent them with Peter to Caesarea because they needed to learn that lesson. All the Jews needed to learn that lesson. It needed to be taken back to Jerusalem, to the temple, to the Jews. They needed to know that God was dealing with the Gentiles and that God was saving the Gentiles the same as he did the Jews. So it was important because God had to use the Jews, who were the first ones saved. The first church was made up of Jews. He had to use them to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. So they had to know that God was going to deal with the Gentiles and save the Gentiles. And they had to believe that and know that God no respecter of persons, or they would not have been willing to take the gospel out of Jerusalem and Judea. And they had to do that. That's who God had to use. So that's what he was doing. He was teaching them the same lesson that he had taught Peter in Joppa. And that's the reason that he had sent those Jews with Peter to Caesarea. So there they were in this group of Gentiles, this room full of Gentiles, and the Gentiles believed. And the Gentiles got saved. And the Holy Ghost came upon them the same as it had the Jews on that day of as he had the Jews on the day of Pentecost. So, like most people then who accept the Lord as Savior, they were baptized. And the baptism is not anything to salvation. But the baptism, those people that day, the same as our baptism, we baptized, signified that we had died with Jesus on that cross, that we've been buried with Jesus in that tomb, and that we were raised with Jesus on the third day. It signifies a new man, a new person, a new creation, a new start. That's what baptism is about. So they were baptized that day, and that's the same as we were, and then they asked Peter if he would tarry for a while and stay with them because they didn't want to quit fellowshipping, and they were just like us after a good service. You want to hang around and talk for a while. But somehow, we saw in the first verse of chapter 11 last time that the word spread, the word of these Gentiles getting saved, spread back to Judea. And I don't know how it did that. Like I said, there was no telephone, there were no newspapers, there were no internets, there was no, it was a long way from Caesarea to Judea. But some way, the word of their salvation, God's work with the Gentiles, spread to Judea. And we're going to see that those old prejudices and traditions came up in full force at that time. Before we do, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word and for these who are here, Lord. And I pray, God, you'll bring us a lesson today. And I pray, God, you'll teach us what we need to know today. And I pray, God, that once you teach us, Lord, we'll put it into action in our lives. Lord, we'll take it out these doors and not just hear it and forget it, Lord, but actually be doers of the word, doers of the work that you've given us to do in this world, Lord. I pray, God, now that you'll teach us, Lord, it won't be me. I love you and praise you and thank you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's go to chapter 11 and let's look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem," now I don't know how long he stayed in Caesarea, but he came back to Jerusalem. It says, "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him." Now they that were of the circumcision were the Jews who were saved. That's the Jewish Christians, and they contended with Peter. They didn't like the fact that Peter had gone out there and preached a bunch of Gentiles, and they got saved. They didn't like it at all. So he returned to the mother church. That Jerusalem was the very center of Christianity. That's the first church. The ones who were saved first were in that church in Jerusalem. And now James was pastor of Jerusalem. We studied the book of James not long ago. James was a pastor, and there they were. They were Christians, but they were also Jews. They were steeped in their tradition. They believed certain things. Their forefathers had taught them all these things. That's what they believed. That's what they stood for. Does that sound familiar in Baptist churches that we've heard these things all our life? That's what we believe. Doesn't matter if the Bible says it. It's what some old preacher said. It's what my grandpa said, and it's got to be right if he said it. That ain't necessarily so. I just want you to know that. Right here is what's so. Right here is what's true, what God says. So how did they act when Peter returned to Jerusalem? They didn't praise and worship God. They didn't thank God for saving those souls. No, they didn't want those souls saved. They contended with Peter. They didn't praise God for his wonderful deeds. They were not happy that they had to share God with a bunch of Gentiles. God was their God. And that's the way they were. Now, those are human traits right there. That's what we need to give up when we get saved. They had forgotten that quickly the commandment that God had given them, that Jesus had given them when we walked this earth, to take the gospel out of Jerusalem, out of Judea, into Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the world. They'd already forgotten that. But that's not surprising. You remember the children of Israel? You remember when Moses went up on the mountain and he spent 40 days? Now God had brought them through the Red Sea. God had brought them out of Egypt. God had fed them. God had given them water. Their clothes didn't wear out. The shoes didn't wear out. And Moses went up on the mountain, stayed 40 days. They turned away from God. They made idols of golden calves, and they were worshiping the golden calves and dancing to them naked when Moses came down off the mountain. That's how people are. That's how soon people forget what God has done for them. And I'm not speaking to people who don't know what I'm talking about, because we all forget what God's done for us. And we all go back to the things we shouldn't do. And we don't hold on to that first fresh salvation experience that we had. We don't remember it. Well, these people had forgotten what God had told them. They were the ones that he was going to send the gospel to the world by. They were attending church. They were singing hymns. They were praying. They were testifying. But they weren't worshiping. They weren't doing what they ought to have been doing. And most Christians aren't. We come to church and we sit on the bench and we listen to the preacher and we sing songs and we come to the altar and we pray and we go out of here and we live just like the world. We forget about what God has done for us. What we are to do is take Jesus Christ into the world. That's the same thing they were to do, was take Jesus Christ into the world. That's a commandment that the Lord gave to all his disciples, and we're his disciples. And so were these people. But what did they do? They should have been shouting. They should have been praising. They should have been running. We should too sometimes, y'all. We ought to hold them hands up, praise God sometimes, shout sometimes, get up and run if that's what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. We ought to be worshiping the Lord. But they weren't doing that. You know what they did? They were pouting. Oh, what's God shouldn't have done that with that bunch of people. He's our God. They were sitting there pouting, having a pity party. Same thing still happened. What they didn't know was that they thought they had less of God because God had saved those Gentiles. What they didn't know and what they forgot is how big God is. God's big enough for everybody. God's big enough for all of us. God's big enough for me, and he's big enough for you. You know what? I have, and I'm heir to everything that God has, which is everything. It's mine. Guess what? It's yours too. God's big enough for everybody. You don't lose God because somebody else gets saved. That just brings somebody else into the family. He's not like us. And see, we humanize him. And you can't humanize God. He's not like us at all. God is different. I've got all of God. You've got all of God. God can save every person in the world, every person who believes, every person anywhere, anytime from now on, and it won't diminish him one iota. Not one. It won't take anything away from me or anything away from you. We still have all of God. We still heirs to everything he has. That's what the Bible teaches us. We ought to be praising. We ought to be shouting. We ought to be happy. Now look at verse 3. This is what they said, saying, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them." Boy, Peter, what do you mean? Those people are nasty. Those people are trash. Those people eat stuff that we wouldn't eat in our lifetime. That it's against our law to eat. And there you are. You went in and you fellowshiped with them and you preached to them and you ate with them. What do you mean? That's exactly the attitude they came on to Peter with. Their lifelong prejudices came out. How in the world could you fellowship with such people? But you know, there was a time when I taught at another church, and there was a man who got up, does what Steve did this morning, every day, every Sunday. Well, he had heard a black preacher, and he liked the message, and he brought a little clip, a little tape of what that black preacher said, and he played it. The Sunday school superintendent came to me and he said, "What do you mean letting somebody play a black preacher in this Sunday school class in this church? They're different from us. They don't worship the same as we do. They're not like us, and don't you ever let it happen again." That's what he said. That was a Baptist church. That was an independent Baptist church. That wasn't a bunch of Jews sitting back in Jerusalem. Does that sound familiar to some of you out there? I'm telling you. Of course, I laughed at him. I didn't care. He wasn't anything to me. I felt sorry for him. But I didn't do it, but I would have. You know, and I still would. But the same God that called Stephen Harris to preach, call Jeff to preach, call that black man to preach. The same God that saved my soul, saved your soul, saved his soul. He worshiped Jesus Christ. That's who I worship. I don't ever want to be in a church like that. But there it was in Jerusalem. Same thing. That's all man. That's not God. God says we're all of one blood. Did you know if I get out there and I get in a wreck and I need some type O blood, that I can have a black man's blood, same as I can a white? We all of one blood. That's what God says. I got news for everybody who thinks differently. It ain't all going to be white independent Baptists in heaven. It's going to be whoever believes in every nation. That's what he told us just a couple of verses ago. whoever believes in every nation. That's it. So we might as well get used to it. It's all man. That's same as these Jews are. It's not new. That was all man over at that other church. It wasn't God. It wasn't new. It happened back then. It's still happening now, and it'll continue to happen. But it's still all man. Christians need to know that God is absolutely no respecter of persons. We need to know that. That's a lesson we need to know. Now I'm going to read verses 4 through 10, and we're going to talk about them a little bit. But Peter rehearsed the matter, that means he told them exactly what had happened from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered, and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing uncommon unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. I'm not common this morning, and neither are you. God's cleansed us. We're perfect this morning. We're justified by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is imputed to us when he saved us, and God sees us cleansed from all sin, and God sees us perfect, and that's why we can go before that throne of grace and talk to him anytime we want to. That's why we can enter into the Holy of Holies when the high priest could only do it one day a year or he would die. We can do it any time we want to, as many times every day as we want to, and I would hope that we all take advantage of that. We are blessed beyond all measure. And let's see where I got. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again to heaven. See, Peter didn't blow up and lecture them on how wrong they were or how they should change what they were thinking and they should change their hearts. The Bible says he rehearsed with them the matter. That means he told them exactly what had happened from the very beginning to the very end, and he told it in order because he wanted them to understand what God was doing and what God was happening. And if you blow up at somebody, you know the Bible tells us not to argue religion with anybody. If somebody is just like we've been through, is sitting there telling you something you know is absolutely wrong, but they're determined that that's right, and they're determined that that's what the best thing you can do is walk away. Bible says don't contend with them. The Bible says mark them and avoid them. So Peter could have caused a problem. Peter could have argued. Peter could have said, you bunch of turkeys, you're just prejudiced. And he could have caused a problem, and the church could have blown apart. Peter didn't do it. See, their problem really is ignorance. And ignorance is not bad. Ignorance just is. Because you don't know something, you're ignorant. Ignorance doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you don't know something. They didn't know enough about God and how he works. And that's what caused them to think and to act in the manner they thought and acted. You've got to know something about God in order to turn loose those old beliefs and those old prejudices and those old things that have been taught to you all your life. And those old things, Grandpa said this and Grandpa said that. I love my grandpa. He was a Christian, and he believed that if you set the Bible on fire, it would not burn. He believed you could still read it when the fire was gone. I don't know if you can or not, because I never would set one on fire to see. But he believed that with all his heart.
Years ago, our trailer burned down. And I can vouch that it didn't burn.
Praise God. That's good. But he believed that. I'm not going to set my Bible on fire to see whether or not the words will still be there. Because they're still there. Whether they're written on this piece of paper or not, the words are still there. That's the point. Those words will never go anywhere. The Lord says not one jot or tittle will ever be changed throughout eternity. The Word is the Word. The Word is the truth. We have it written, but it's written here. God said he'd write it in our hearts when he saved us. So Peter didn't blow up, and he didn't get on them, and he didn't cause a problem. What he did was he taught them a lesson, and the lesson was based entirely upon the works and the actions of God, as all lessons ought to be. This lesson that I'm teaching this morning ought to be based on this word that's in this book, which is the Word of God, which is His work, which is His action, and not mine. If it's on mine, I ought to get out of here and sit down, because I'm not doing anything any good at all. It's all vain. But if I'm teaching what this book says, and Peter was teaching what God did, and I'm teaching the doctrine just as Peter was teaching the doctrine, then that's a lesson we all need to learn. I'm not teaching it, by the way. I went to God this morning. I asked the Holy Spirit to fill me. I asked Him to teach this morning, and He's the one teaching, and I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth next. And you can believe that or not, but that's the truth. That's just the way it is. So Peter taught a lesson, and the lesson was based upon the word and the actions of God. And he told them about the trance, and he told them about the vision, and he told them about the great sheet that was filled with all these things that Jews would not eat. And he told them how God had said to him, "Arise, Peter, slay and eat." And he told them how he refused. And he told the Lord, "Nothing unclean ever entered his mouth." And God told him, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." He told them that God lowered that sheet three times. Then he took it up into heaven. God knew that those people in Jerusalem needed to know exactly what had happened in order to put everything into perspective so they could see that God actually was dealing with those Gentiles, that He is no respecter of persons, that He will save anybody, anywhere who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepts Him as Savior. He will save souls. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. Now look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, "And behold, immediately there were three men already coming to the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me." This is Peter continuing, and he told them that no sooner had that sheep been drawn up into heaven that those three men showed up at the gate down there looking for him. They had come from Caesarea. They were searching for Peter. Let's read verses 12 through 15. "And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning." Boy, I tell you, Peter told them how the Holy Spirit had directed him to accompany those three men. And Peter was obedient. And as the Holy Spirit tells us something, we ought to be obedient. You know what God wants from His people? He wants obedience. You know, when our children were little, what did we need from them? We needed obedience. That's the way God is with us. He needs our obedience this morning. And if He tells us to do something that we think might look foolish in somebody else's eyes, we need to do whatever God is telling us to do this morning. We need to let Him lead us and not let our worldly nature and our embarrassment. If God tells you to shout, shout. If God tells you to there was a time when I couldn't raise my hand in church because I was so embarrassed somebody might see it. I praise God this morning. I raise them both. I give Him a wave offering. I praise Him this morning. Praise God, yes. We need to be praising God. Anyway, he followed the Lord's instructions, and he was told to do so, nothing doubting. Don't doubt anything. See, that's trust. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to trust Him. He don't want us to sit around worrying and agonizing and wondering about things. He told us to take no thought of tomorrow. You know, tomorrow will take care of itself. He says sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He says if we go through life agonizing and worrying, we don't trust Him. He says that we're into sin. He told Peter, he said, "You go with these men and don't you doubt anything. You trust me." That's how it needs to be. We need to be trusting God. I know we get up every day. We go to work. We live in the world. We're not a pastor. This is not what we do for a living. But we're just as saved as Peter was. We're just as saved as that pastor was. We got the same responsibilities that everybody else has, and that's to trust God and follow Him and do what He says for us to do, because we've all got a ministry, and it's different from the pastor. It's different from the teacher. It's different from the choir director. But their ministry is not just here in this church. My ministry is not just here in this church. Our ministry is out there in the field, and it's to tell people about Jesus Christ. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? The will of God is for your life. You go out that door, live like a Christian, talk like a Christian, be a Christian, show Christ to the world. That's God's will for our life. People say, I'd like to be in the center of God's will. I'd not like to know what His will is. There it is. Be witnesses unto me to the uttermost parts of the world. That's where we live, the uttermost parts of the world. Be witnesses unto me. That's it. The will of God. Peter told them about Cornelius, about the angel. And I like this. The angel told Cornelius, whereby thee, or thou, and thy house might be saved. Do you remember when Peter and Paul, was it Peter, Paul and Barnabas was in the prison and the earthquake came and the jailer was scared to death because he thought they had all escaped and there they sit? Remember what they told him? He'll save you and your house. The angel told Cornelius, he'll save you and your house. When I got saved, I had two sons that were not saved. Now they are. God will save you and God will save your house. Don't ever stop praying for your children and your grandchildren. God will save them. He said He would. That's a promise we can hang a hat on right there. He'll save you. He'll save your children. He'll save your grandchildren. He'll save your house. And your house will be together throughout eternity. Forever and forever and forever. And praise God. Now that's shouting ground right there, that He'll save you and He'll save your house. That's what He told. That's what the angel told Cornelius. And he did that day. Cornelius got saved and all his family and friends got saved that day right there in that room. God's good. Peter told them how the Holy Ghost had fallen, how they spoke in tongues, how they were saved, how they glorified God. I tell you, I'm sure that those Jews back there were amazed and mystified at God's actions. They couldn't figure it out. The same Holy Ghost that had fallen on the Jews at Pentecost fell on the Gentiles with the same results. The same thing is still true today. God hasn't changed one iota. That same Holy Ghost that fell on the Jews on the day of Pentecost, the same Holy Ghost that fell on those Gentiles that day in Caesarea and Cornelius' house, that same Holy Ghost will fall on us today if we invite Him. And we ask Him, and we allow Him, and we don't quench Him. And the results will be the same. If there's a lost person sitting here, they'll get saved today. I praise God for that. How would you close for us, please?